Sean for breakfast, Esperance at 7:47 Triple M. And you may be travelling out to Ravensthorpe or even further beyond to Perth, or you might just be stuck on the header for a few hours or the cedar or whatever on the farm. I'll tell you what, a podcast is your best friend. I remember one trip I had from Esperance to Perth. I literally binge listened a Trials of a Vampire, great podcast by Adam Shand. And he joins me on the line. I'm very excited for this conversation. Adam, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. First of all, thank you very much. That's an 8-hour drive from Esperance to Perth, and I was completely focused the entire time because of your podcast, so thank you.
Didn't run off the road, hit any roos or anything?
There was a few. If you haven't listened to Trials of a Vampire, I highly recommend it. There's a few moments where you're like, holy, oh my gosh. But no, it wasn't enough to get me off the road. So we want to talk about a podcast that was released this week, and also there's a television series, which is really exciting. But first of all, when did you realise, Adam, that you had the perfect voice for a gritty crime podcast?
I don't think I've yet realised that, but I think what I do have is a long time of talking to people in the crime area and not always doing daily news, so you can build up relationships. In this case, I had a guy contact me from Barwon Prison 7 or 8 years ago. He was doing a long stretch for a crime he didn't commit, and that's absolutely factual because the cops who were involved in it admitted so later on. Anyway, he decided to tell me things about what was happening inside the prison, but also to promote to me cases where the inmates had not got justice or were seeking something like a sentence reduction or, you know, something maybe to get out and see their parents on a day leave or, you know, highlighting people's lack of literacy, all these kinds of things. So over 7 years, I got this really intimate portrait of Barwon Jail, probably Victoria's toughest, and what life was like in there. He came out, and we've now had the chance to throw away our aliases and cover and so forth and discuss it openly, which has been an amazing experience. We hope the listeners enjoy that bit.
Yeah, what's it like putting yourself out there when you're saying these names, and these are criminals? Do you ever get concerned that it's going to have some backlash and affect your personal life?
Mainly if you misspell their names. That's the main issue. I mean, really, I'm like anybody else. If you go along with a cynical, prejudged attitude, yes, you can get bothered. But if you're prepared to listen and be open and not just take a black-white view, then you can form relationships and you can find some point of discussion. You know, I've done it with numerous crooks, from Carl Williams to Chopper Reed to bikie gangs and all kinds of things. And they're just human beings at the end of the day. And I think part of the problem in our media is that we tend to stereotype them and categorise them and judge them, and they're just bad people. Well, in fact, I mean, there might just be one bad day that something happens, you know. I'll give you an example. I was walking across the street in Melbourne the other day, almost got run over by a peeplater. He ducks around the corner, gets on his phone and knocks on his window. I said, dude, you realise if you'd hit me, you could have got 5 years jail, you know. You're not a bad person. You're just on your phone right now. And I think we have to stop this sort of judgment. And I think it's just sometimes the media is responsible for it. But I think the great thing in these podcasts is you've got enough time and space to get behind the stereotypes.
Yeah, and I guess if you're being factual, then there's, you know, you're just presenting the facts plain black and white. No one can really be too upset about that if it actually happened, as long as it's not slander or anything, I suppose.
Oh, it's amazing how facts can hurt. That's no guarantee. But I think it's just about balance. You know, if that fact happened, at least understand the background to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we had, for instance, years and years of police corruption here in Victoria, unethical behaviour, which is just coming out now in our Royal Commission. When you look at some of the stories that were involved in that scenario, they've been prejudged without the missing piece. Now we understand the full story. They go, oh, maybe that guy wasn't guilty in the beginning. Maybe it was a big sit-up. Maybe the cops put it on him, sort of thing. You know? So, again, balance is critical. And I'm fortunate because I have a long time to spend doing those podcasts. I mean, generally we spend 3 to 6 months. Trials of the Vampire, you mentioned, was like a year. So we have a long time to weigh up what we're going to do and try to get balance in there. And so I'm not trying to be this... I mean, there's no point trying to be the objective journalist because we all carry our baggage in any situation. We prejudge things. So just acknowledge that and try to provide balance is what I always try to do.
Yeah. So you just mentioned there that you're dealing with podcasts which might take from 3 months to a year to investigate and then execute. Do you think this is sort of almost replacing long form journalism? I know it's really hard these days for journalists to make a crust and be able to investigate a story completely with social media undercutting media outlets trying to get stories out there as quick as possible, beating the other. Do you think podcasts are replacing, you know, 7:30 Report in 60 Minutes because you do have more time and it's fairly cheap to do?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's always a place for that daily news 7:30 Report style stuff, but particularly longer form documentaries are really under threat. Newspapers are under threat. Books are under threat. I mean, I've written six non-fiction crime books, and I'm not sure I'll write a seventh. I can't see it happening because each one of these things tend to take as much time as a book and is as involving. And once you've done a podcast, the publisher says, well, you've picked those bones clean. So, and people, I think, in some ways, are losing the art of reading. I mean, they hardly get through a web page these days, let alone a long-form book of 400 pages. Whereas the podcast is very intimate, it's very involving. I mean, you've got your headphones in, I'm right in your ears, for better or worse, you know, whispering sweet nothings in your ears. I mean, I've had people who say, oh, I was going for a run or something and I found myself sitting on the gutter and listening to two episodes. And I think, oh, gee, okay, you really got involved, right? So it's a very successful medium at doing that. And we're just really excited about also bringing other forms into podcasts. As I say, I've done a bunch of books, and I think audiobooks are a kind of fairly midway technology. What's wrong with introducing elements of actuality and drama as well as text into a podcast space? That's probably our next move.
Yeah, that's very exciting, obviously. And I guess what you're doing at the moment, where you've got this podcast, which you're bringing out with a television series as well, that's the same, where you're drawing two mediums working together. I think we said off air a bit of synergy, which is really exciting. And it has been successful. I just finished a Netflix series called Dirty John, which is similar, a podcast that was adapted into a television series.
Don't tell me the end. I'm watching it.
Oh, it's really intense. I won't tell you. So what is it like adapting the podcast to a television series? Is it an interesting process, a difficult process? What were the challenges?
It is difficult because it's a much higher cost production base, and you've also got to persuade people who have enjoyed the relative anonymity of just being a voice, even with a name, to suddenly being a face with a name and on screen, and then people recognise them, and that's difficult. When you're dealing with ex-criminals or people who are victims and so forth, that's difficult, you know. I'm doing it with another case which involves a string of sexual assaults here in Melbourne, and I've been speaking to someone for a year. I know virtually their intimate lives, you know, but then to introduce that to your TV is like a terribly anxious thing. So they're the downsides. The upside is, of course, that television is still a very high penetration medium. Yeah. The case we're doing in Tasmania, which was about Lucille Butterworth, she's in 1969, a 20-year-old woman disappears from a Hobart street. 7 years later, a person is pulled in for murdering somebody else. He confesses to her murder, but he's not taken seriously. 40 years later, we're still trying to bang him up for that murder. So that one lent itself very much to a TV show as well as a podcast because, there's just a lot of people who are still alive, who still want justice. We're all on the same page, a lot easier. But, it's not always that way. But I think it's a great medium. And so in that case, we're hoping that the TV with its higher penetration might help people to come forward with information because after all these years of writing about it, I want to solve a few as well, not just about writing it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the television gives you another sensory factor, I suppose, to it. Obviously, the sight and sound and everything.
And they go, the guy, he looks like that? Really?
Yeah.
Really? We thought he was, like, passably good-looking.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, that's Dirty John to a T, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, before I let you go, obviously we mentioned it before, so Sunday is the release of the television series Jailhouse Lawyer. Just one last pitch. What drew you towards the story and why should we be watching?
I just think it took me into a world with which I was not familiar, and he's gripped me in conversation ever since. So I guess if I'm enjoying it, the lawyers, the audience will as well. Mm. So I guess I'm arrogant enough to say that I think it's a great story and it's worth listening to because I think we just need to know more about what goes on behind prison walls. We don't know enough. We make judgments, and the reality is these prisoners are coming back at us. No matter how much we want to condemn them and spoil their chances of reintegrating, they are coming back. It's important that we have an insight.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It is an interesting system, the penal the penal system and how criminals can come out basically with more skills than when they went in. But that's another conversation for another day. You're listening to Adam Shand. You can find his podcast on Podcast One, Adam Shand at Large. He covers chopper, ATM crime, drug crime. He covers a lot and he's still working very hard to this day. So listen out for his name. Adam, thanks for joining me this morning.
My absolute pleasure. Wonderful fun.